Hare Krishna. When coming to a temple like this one, where I know many of you, it never feels right to just start. So I want to start by saying I'm very happy to see you. I regret that this is always taking such a long time. We don't see each other very often due to our different services and locations of service, but it's very nice to see you. Hare Krishna. Welcome. No, welcome you must say. Hare Krishna. So we will read today another verse on another page. Canto 1, chapter 15, I have text 12. This is correct, John Paul? It is correct. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yat Tejasa Atha Bhagavan Yudhi Shulapani Vismapita Sagiri Jaha Astram Adat Nijam Me Anye Cha Aham Amuna Eva Kalevarena Raptaha Maha Indra Bhavane Mahat Asana Adham. Yate jasata Bhagavan Yutishula Paniya. Vishma Pita Sagiri Jostram Adran Me Adan Nijang Me. Anye Pichaham Amunaiva Kalevarena. Rapto Mahendra Bhavane Mahad Asanadam. Yate jasata Bhagavan Yuti Shula Pani. Visma Pita Sagiri Jostra Madhangni Jangme. Anye picha hamma munaiva kala kale varena. Prapto Mahendra Bhavane Mahadasanatvam. Yes, please. Own weapon. Other demigods also delivered their respective weapons to me. And in addition, I was able to reach the heavenly planets in this present body and was allowed a half-elevated seat. Purport. By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, all the demigods, including Lord Shiva, were pleased with Arjuna. The idea is that one who is favored by Lord Shiva or any other demigod may not necessarily be favored by the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Ravan was certainly a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but he could not be saved from the wrath of of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra. And there are many instances like that in the histories of the Puranas. But here's an instance where we can see that Lord Shiva became pleased even in the fight with Arjuna. The devotees of the Supreme Lord know how to respect the demigods, but the devotees of the demigods sometimes foolishly think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is no greater than the demigods. By such a conception, one becomes an offender and ultimately meets with the same end as Ravana and others. The instances described by Arjuna during his friendly dealings with Lord Krishna are instructive for all who may be convinced by the lessons that one can achieve all favors simply by pleasing the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So if you are convinced by the lesson that you can achieve all favors simply by pleasing the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, then this is good reading matter. Whereas the devotees or worshippers of the demigods may achieve only partial benefits, which are also perishable, just as the demigods themselves are. Another significance of the present verse is that Arjuna, by the grace of Lord Shri Krishna, was able to reach the heavenly planet even with the selfsame body and was honored by the heavenly demigod Indradev, being seated with him half elevated. So he was not on the same level, but half the level. One can reach the heavenly planets by the pious acts recommended in the Shastras in the category of fruitive activities. And as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 9:21, when the reactions of such pious activities are spent, the enjoyer is again degraded to this earthly planet. The moon is also on the level with the heavenly planets, and only persons who have performed virtues only, performing sacrifices, giving charity, and undergoing severe austerities, can be allowed to enter into the heavenly planets after the duration of life of the body. Arjuna was allowed to enter into the heavenly planets in the selfsame body simply by the grace of the Lord. Otherwise, it was not possible to do so. The present attempts to enter into the heavenly planets by the modern scientists will certainly prove futile, because such scientists are not on the same level of Arjuna. They are ordinary human beings without any assets of sacrifice, charity, or austerities. The material body is influenced by the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. The present population is more or less influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance, and the symptoms for such influence are exhibited in their becoming very lusty and greedy. Such degraded fellows can hardly approach the higher planetary systems. Something for the astronauts. Above the heavenly planets, there are many other planets also, which only those who are influenced by goodness can reach. In heavenly and other planets within the universe, the inhabitants are highly intelligent, many more times than the human beings, and they are all pious in the higher and highest mode of goodness. They are all devotees of the Lord, and although their goodness is not unadulterated, still they are known as demigods possessing the maximum amount of good qualities possible within the material world. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prachadine Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satadine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare This is a this verse opens our eyes for a certain contemplation or meditation. It's a question which I feel as devotees we need to become very much aware of. That is, by whose power can we do something? There's a book, an Upanishad, which addresses this question. It's called Kena Upanishad. Kena means by whose, you know, Kena, by whose, you know, Kena, Shrishtikara, by whose power did you come here? And you will say, by the PS power of the car, I was coming here. By whose intelligence, Lavangalatika, can you now make this beautiful piece of cloth which you make? You could say, well, I've learned sewing, which I could do. I have learned from my mother how to make nice cloth. Sachinanand Swami, by whose intelligence do you now speak? I can say, well, I was in the gymnasium and I learned English. But Kena Upanishad describes that whatever we can only do by the power of Krishna. Shrishtikata was driving to Sweden by the power of Krishna. Mataji can make a very nice decorative piece of clothing by the power of Krishna. One can speak and walk and talk and build a wonderful mud house like Rudra Chandra by the power of Krishna. Your mud house is becoming very, very famous all over ISKCON at least. The Kena Upanishad makes this clear in a very, very telling way, which I feel is I would like to relate to you. The Kena Upanishad describes a gathering of sadhus, not sadhus, demigods, on one mountain range in the Himalayas. As they are discussing, they look over to a distant mountain range and see a being full of light standing there. Naturally, they want to know who this is. And they sent Vayu, the Devata Vayu, to a far distant being. And he flies over the Himalayas, manifests before the being, said, may I know who you are? Now, in Vedic circles, only a superior person may ask another. In our transcendental relationships, Mita Krishna Maharaj is the superior person to me because he's elder to me, both in age and in spiritual knowledge. So I have to I couldn't ask him by Vedic etiquette, what is your name, if I would know him. I would first have to introduce myself because I'm an inferior person, have to, and then I could humbly ask, please, can you tell me who you are? I would have to say, my name is Satchinandan Swami, I'm a disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I'm His humble servant. Please, what is your identification? Then he would respond. So here, Vayu, assuming that he is the most powerful demigod, is not introducing himself first, but he asks, what is your name? What is your identification? So the being full of light smiles at him and says, I think you should first give your identification. This is more proper. So Vayu, it's a little bit, his ego is a little hurt, but then he says, I'm Vayu. Who? Vayu. What can you do? Asked the being. What I can do? I'm the most powerful and strong being in the universe. You might be knowing Vayu is even blowing up in the in different regions in the universe and moves the planets who are strung with a cord to a universal axis. He's going like this. I can blow anything away in the universe. Acha, says the being. Then he says, well, then blow away this piece of straw, please. That's too much. It's fine. He goes like, doesn't move. Doesn't move. Doesn't move. And he, more and more, I think you get the idea, until he finally throws himself with his whole weight on this piece of straw. It doesn't move. Oh, says the being, I think you are not capable to understand me, because you can't even move a piece of straw. It's a very insignificant being. He wouldn't understand me. I can't explain who I am to you. Your capacity is very small. Extremely small. He never had this happening, that he couldn't move anything. He can move planets. What to speak of straw. He has, I believe, something like the beginning of a nervous breakdown, a very heavy identity crisis, and goes back to the devatas, totally confused, bewildered, in tears, and says, I'm sorry, didn't. You have to send someone else. I can't speak about my experience at the present moment, but one thing is, I'm very insignificant. This I know now. I'm sorry. Then they sent Agni. Agni goes. He's also full of light. He sees the other person who's full of light. And assuming that, you know, as the powerful controller of the fiery element within the universe, assuming that he is, that it's Vedic etiquette, you know, that he's superior to almost anyone. Yes, he said, I'm sent by the devatas. Please tell, they want to know who you are. Please give your identification. A being smiles and says, I think you should first give your identification. It's more the Vedic etiquette. Yes, Agni, if you want, my name is Agni. Agni? Who? Who? Agni. Who? Well, what can you do? I can burn everything in the universe. I am the fire god, Agni. The being again produces a piece of straw. Please burn this. This is too much, thinks Agni. He almost wanted to say, can you? What are you doing? This is not cultural intercourse or speech. But then he goes like, it doesn't burn. Doesn't burn. Doesn't burn. Doesn't burn. Finally, he throws himself with all his power on the piece of straw, but it does not burn. Now says the being full of light, I think your capacity is very little. You cannot even bring this piece of straw to burn. You will not be able to understand me, even if I tell you. And Agni experiences what I think is in clinical terms called the beginning of a nervous breakdown. He has a severe identity crisis. And he walks back to the devatas and says, I'm sorry, I can't speak about my experience with this being, but I don't even know. Something happened with me. One thing is clear, he is very, very much able to bewilder at least Vayu at me. This is clear. So then they send Indra, who's extremely intelligent, but who has one weakness. Prabhupada once, when he was totally frustrated with us Westerners, he said that we also have this weakness. He said, you Westerners are very much attached to quarreling and sex. It's very heavy for the false ego. So Indra has a second weakness, very strong. It's almost an addiction. Yes, it's an addictive behavior. We must say, hopefully he doesn't send rain now and flood us. But he also has Lord Vamana at his court. I mean, the Lord appeared in his court and just sits there as his younger brother. But this is some weakness, personal weakness. So when he came, that mystical being had disappeared and had sent his greatest attachment there, a beautiful woman. Really beautiful. Indra came and he saw who. And he said, I'm sorry, I expected someone else here. Can you tell me who he was? I do not know, but now you are here, but there was someone else here, a being full of light. Can you tell me who he was? So Uma, most beautiful woman, she says, yes, I can tell you. I've been sent by this being. He is Krishna. He wants to show you demigods by whose strings you can do anything and everything. It's by Krishna's strengths that Vayu can blow and move everything in the universe. It's by Krishna's strength that Agni can burn anything in the universe. You sent me because you listen best from women. It's by Krishna's intelligence that you can think and reign the universe. Please do not forget. And then Uma disappeared. So I find this very, very important in our spiritual lives, this meditation, to understand that it is by Krishna that we can do anything. Up to this day, I remember a lecture by one Swami in our movement. His name is Mahavishnu Maharaj. He's not the Mahavishnu Maharaj who does service in Nepal and who sometimes came here to collect for the Kathmandu temple and other temples. He is the Mahavishnu, an Indian, who's above 70 and who's a little handicapped, I believe. He has a handicapped car, a three-wheel car, and goes through London and so on. And Maharaj just came from Canada. He was a little tired from the heavy flight, and he was sitting in the seat, and then he said, not Canada, Los Angeles. And he told a little bit about the earthquake. You might remember there was an earthquake, and we had to move the deities out of the temple because the temple had cracked already at one or two spots, and we were fearing that the temple would fall upon the deity. So he described a little, and then Maharaj just remembered how he had flown so long, and he said, if I say I have flown to London, it is wrong. I have not flown to London. Flown, is it right, the word past tense, flown? Yes, I have not flown to London. But if I say, by Krishna's mercy, I have come to London, then this is correct. Because this is an arrangement of God, sitting in some material vehicle, the matter comes from God, the energy comes from God, the intelligence to build the airplane comes from God. By Krishna's mercy, I had an airplane ticket. Money comes from God. In this way, I must say, by Krishna's mercy. If we learn in our spiritual lives this simple sentence, by Krishna's mercy, we are doing this, then we will be situated in Krishna consciousness. But kataham iti manyate, if we think I am the doer, kataham, karta means the doer, aham, I am, manyate means to think, then, oh, we are fools. We are fools, this is a very strong word, I know. It may, please do not feel offended. I am always such a fool, thinking that I'm doing, I'm saying, I'm this. And as soon as you come on this platform, you lose Krishna consciousness. It goes very fast. I am doing this by my own strength and my own will, and you are on the material platform immediately. It goes very fast. It goes very fast to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. You have to understand Kena, by whose intelligence, by whom, whose strengths are you moving. The moment a devotee understands that everything is moving under the control of Krishna, then that consciousness or that conception, this understanding, is Krishna conscious. For instance, at the present moment, our beloved International Society for the Attempt to Become Krishna Consciousness is changing rapidly. The winds of storm, or the winds of change, you say, are blowing through our beloved institution. Haribo. And things are changing. Conceptions change. Persons change their situations, their orientations. Everyone is moved from high to low, middle to from left-wing thinker to right-wing thinker, from ultra-conservative, you know, all these different spectrums, from children to men, from men to women, from even animals, I think, might soon start moving from farms to other farms. You know, the wind of change is really intense at the moment. So, for a devotee, we have to ask ourselves, what does Krishna want to teach me? After all, everything is moving under his control. What does Krishna want to teach me on an individual level? What do I have to learn? And what does our beloved institution for the attempt to become Krishna consciousness has to also learn? This is the right question. I remember when Srila Prabhupada, this movie, which is very difficult to behold or to look at, Prabhupada is lying on his the bed from where he departed this world. Srila Prabhupada is saying, everything and everyone is moving under the control of Krishna. This understanding is Krishna consciousness. This was very good. It sounded like from another dimension, isn't it? This is very, very nice. This was Krishna. This was happening under Krishna's control. Hare Krishna. It's very, very difficult for a conditioned soul to really come to this understanding in life that everything and everyone is moving under the control of Krishna. It's very, very difficult. It's an easy sentence. Most probably we could all write it down in our notebook. Different important sentences in my life. And then we could write this down. To understand it, it may take many lifetimes. It may take many lifetimes to shift our attention from the immediate to the ultimate cause. That may take many lifetimes. It's not an easy thing. It's one of these difficult things for a conditioned soul to really understand. And someone who thinks like this is always challenged in his understanding. You remember the story of the minister of the king who used to say everything is Krishna's mercy. And I think you have heard it many times, so I will only explain it just very short. A king came one day down. He just cut himself in the finger. And he said, you know, he came to this minister and he wanted to hear some comforting words. And he said, I cut myself in the finger. Oh, said the minister, that's Krishna's mercy. What? Said the king, can't you say some nice words? Now you go into the prison. That's Krishna's mercy. Later the king was captured by thieves and they wanted to slaughter him, but they found out he had a cut in his finger and therefore couldn't use him. And they then sent him in the forest, thinking that the wild animals would eat him. So he came back and he released the minister, and the minister said, see, it was Krishna's mercy that you cut yourself in the finger, because after all, otherwise you would have been cut in the throat. And it was Krishna's mercy that you threw me in the prison, because otherwise you would have forced me, like you always do, to go hunting with you. Then I would have been captured. The minister was Krishna conscious. And this is Krishna conscious, so simple to live into the, in this understanding. I am actually a servant of Krishna. I'm totally dependent on him. And whatever he sends me in my life, it is his mercy. Let me only understand how it is his mercy. At this moment, the life becomes, you can understand what the life's lessons are. It's almost like when you sit before a computer and everything is hieroglyphs, you know, these signs which no one can read. And then you hit the right key on the keyboard. I don't use computer myself, so I'm not so expert, but I think the example is an attempt in the right direction of computer knowledge. If you hit some key, then all of a sudden everything makes sense. You can read all the sentences and so on and so forth. But if you don't hit the right key, everything looks like Russian language or, you know, even letters you have never seen before in your life and so on. So in Krishna consciousness, you need to hit this key. Everything moves under the control of Krishna, and it is his mercy which makes things go. Now, you also need this understanding for a second reason. The first reason is to so that life makes sense at all. The second understanding is you must make your heart into a container in which the Lord can pour the most important essence, that is love for Krishna. Love of Krishna or Krishna Prema is like a liquid, and in order to capture it, you need the right container. What could be the container for love of Krishna? Obviously, it must be here, the heart. It can't be a bowl. It must be the heart. Now, so that love of Krishna can go in the heart, you must prepare your heart in a certain way. I have heard that not all liquids can go in the container. When you have a brass container, and I think if you have lemon juice, then it oxides. Is this richtig? Some containers, when you pour certain liquids, it is not good. I heard that if you have lion milk, the milk of a lioness, if you can get it, it's dangerous to get it, but if you can get it, and you pour it into a clay pot, then the clay pot breaks. Bang! It just makes ping, and then the milk just flows somewhere. So love of Krishna, to get love of Krishna, you need to make your heart the right container. It's a very strong liquid. And it only comes into the heart. The heart has four qualities. Trinadapi sunichena, more humble than the straw and the grass. Dinarapi sunichina taro iva sahishnuna. You must give respect to others. Amanina. Taro iva sahishnuna was more tolerant, like the tree. You must be a servant to others. Not be egocentric. Then give respect to others as they deserve it. These qualities, and not expect respect in return. These are very important to make your heart the right container. We are discussing how Arjuna and the Pandavas went back to Godhead. And there's a very, very interesting information which I just got recently from the Mahabharata. When they went this way of the great departure, something important happened. I want to tell you, I personally also went the same way up the Himalayan mountains. It's breathtaking. It brings you to Badrinath, and then further on, then there is a river called Sarasvati, and you see a big block of a mountain. This is Bhima had thrown this over the river so that it's like a bridge. This mountain is so big, it's so big, almost as big as, I would say, half the temple, or half the temple building. It's a big piece of mountain. He just took it, bang, threw it over the Sarasvati as a bridge, and you go over it and you look down and you go like, so high, you go like, oof. So high, when he schwindelfrei is, you know, if you're not free from this, I do not know how is it called, when you get irritated, when you're up, and you see down. Do you know what I mean? Swindle, then you get the swindle. Whoa, so high up there. So we were walking over this bridge. I was remembering the Pandavas. Then I wanted to go further. They went 14 days more. No, a journey of, not 14 days. That's wrong. 4 days. But we had would have needed tents to make the journey and camp in the snow and be a little cold. So we didn't go all the way, but we went some of the way. So the Pandavas, the five princes, went up in these high regions of the Himalayas. It's so breathtakingly wonderful. But then something happened. Sahadev, the youngest, went like, and he fell down and died. He left his body right there. So Bhima was asking Yudhishthira, why has Sahadev died like this? He's a prince. Why has he fallen in the dirt and died like this? This is unjust. No, said Yudhishthira, Sahadev was proud. He thought he is the most capable of men, intelligent and so on. Therefore, he had to fall like this. Oops, said Bhishma. Then they walked on. Ah, this area. I get goose pimples if I just remember this area. It is so holy. So they went on. Then Nakula fell down. Bhishma said, what? Nakula. And then Nakula had gone. He asked Yudhishthira with tears in his eye, why did my brother Nakula have to die like this? Yudhishthira said, no, it is just he was proud. Nakula thought he was the most beautiful of men. Then Arjuna, after some time, fell and left his body. Bhima asked Yudhishthira, this is unjust. Arjuna, the personal friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why did he have to die like this? Yudhishthira said, he was proud. He said at the beginning of Kurukshetra, he would finish the whole army in one day. He was so angry, he didn't do it. Took 18 days. After some time, Bhima felt walk talking was so difficult.
No! And he fell down.
Strong man. No one could fight with Bhima. He was lying. He was feeling how death was overtaking him. Why do I have to die like this? Said Bhima. Yudhishthira said, you ate too much. And you were proud. You said that no one was as strong as you. Janu's son is looking. Can he speak English? Oh yeah. Why did I have to die like this? No, sorry. You have to die. You were so proud. It was only a leela. After some time, they went all back to Godhead. Don't worry. You look so worried for them. But it was a leela. Even the Pandavas had to learn this. I want to read to you a Sanskrit shloka which will shock you. Maybe. Maybe not. I really want to read this to you. You will like it very much. It's somewhere in my notes. Yeah. Nija jana smaya tvangsena smita. This is Krishna's expertise. He likes to take our pride and go like, smash, crash, evaporate, disintegrate. Krishna is doing this, and I think each sincere devotee, and we have many of them, they know this, how Krishna goes, smash, crash. So that you are on your knees and say, my dear Lord, I thought I was someone, but I'm no one. I'm a very fallen soul. Please take me and please make your word come true that you are the deliverer of the most fallen, because I'm in that category. I feel our whole life's experiences are a series of events to either test if we are ready to give credit to Krishna or to smash us. We had this in Shishtikata and myself. We went last year on a pilgrimage. And we were in a holy place, and when we arrived at the holy place, we saw immediately one thing: we can only understand this holy place if we are humble, isn't it? And then, of course, Shishtikata was very humble, but I was not humble. Then I remember when we left the holy place. A mysterious wonder happened. One guru came. He was a monkey. And he taught us. Now you will look, what did you just say? No, yes, you have heard properly. There was a monkey who was paying his respectful obeisances into the direction of Radhakund. And now monkeys don't do this. They don't pay obeisances. And the way their orthopedic bone structure is, it's not a very comfortable position for them. He was lying like this on the roof, and he was smiling at us. A real nice, cultured smile. grin, and we immediately understood that he is telling us the lesson which we understood in the first day, which at least I had not done, that we must be humble. Once one king came to Vrindavan, I remember this, there are often kings who, pious kings, knew about Vrindavan and would go there. You might have seen our Govardhan temple or Govardhan ashram. It's a palace of a king who went there just to spend his time next to Govardhan. There's a tower, and then inside the tower you see a little window like this. You can sit down and look from the window and have a darshan of Govardhan. He was a real expert, you know. So one time, not this king, but another king, went to Vrindavan, and kings used to have a shawl, a special shawl, with gold and silver and dragolis or jewels. It was a shawl, and they, very costly shawl. So they were just arriving, and the shawl was lying there, and the luggage was just going inside, and everything. He was just settling into his summer residence in Vrindavan, and all of a sudden a monkey came and stole the shawl. And he went on a tree and was starting to eat the shawl, like they always do when they steal something. So the king was standing there looking at the monkey, all of a sudden started to cry. And this was seen by the minister who was in charge of, you know, of the journey, and who was ordering the servants, please bring this luggage here, this luggage goes there. And he said, my king is crying at the monkey, he should take his sword and just throw it at the beast and get his thing back, his shawl back. He has become a woman or what? So it was a great problem in his heart, because anyways the king was so devotional and the minister was thinking, you know, he was a real manager. Too much devotion is not good. Then he was going to the king one day and he said, Majesty, Your Majesty, I have a great doubt. Why did you cry when this monkey took away your shawl? The king looked at him with big eyes and said, I realized when you want to go to Vrindavan, you cannot come as a king. You must come as a servant. And there he was. The minister understood. Oops. Yes. So Krishna, if he is merciful, he smashes our pride. And it is painful when you have a lot of it. It's not so painful when you quickly understand, but most of us take lifetimes to understand. Then Krishna is just has to drag us to the samsara, the wheel of birth and death. The moment you understand, everything moves by Krishna's control. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Obviously, as we are doing service, we have to do our best to serve the Lord. Like if Haraka would say, it doesn't matter if I put the potatoes in the earth cellar. Last time we were here, Haraka showed us this very impressive earth cellar. If you think, let them, everything is under Krishna's control, they can as well lie outside and I can rest in my new clay hut and No, we have to do our best to serve Krishna, but we have to always understand everything is under the control of Krishna. This is here, Arjuna says, it was by his influence only that in a fight I was able to astonish the personality of God, Lord Shiva and his wife, the daughter of Mount Himalaya. My dear devotees, I know my lecture is a little impromptu. I have not prepared for this lecture. So I decided today I will speak from my heart, what is in my own heart. Desert, there's always a desert, but sometimes something is there. This is it. What I really feel in my own Krishna consciousness has been a key to higher dimensions in spiritual life. To really at least try, even if you only try intellectually at the beginning, not from, there's not enough bhakti, to understand everything is under the Lord's control. To remain fixed in this understanding and to understand what do I have to learn from this, what is happening in my life, how can I change my behavior to the better, how can I give my best to the please the Lord, and so on. And as soon as one has this key and turns it around in the reality, which is sometimes confusing, then it opens and you see something wonderful waiting for you. Hare Krishna, I wish to end here. I think my message was very clear and maybe even too simple for... please excuse me. Would have liked to give many more reasons. But even the material energy, it can't move unless it is touched by the energy of the Lord. It is dead. The Lord is in control. So, Hare Krishna. I will end here. Do you have any questions regarding this and other subjects? Wir sehen dich, Haraka. Hare Krishna. I remember when Haraka joined, he looked like a little angel. He had hair up till here, and he was playing always the flute and the violin. Hare Krishna. Nice devotee. Bhrigu Muni. Yeah. To do something, to do anything in this world, you need to have your mind ready, your words ready, and your body ready for action. When we handle these instruments, mind, body, words, we have to, you know, we have to steer them like a car. Shrishtikata, for instance, is driving, and there's so many movements. The left feet he moves in some way, with the right foot in another way, with the right hand he moves in one way. Sometimes he even steers with his knees. So much activity is going on. The body is really also like a car. And you have to steer definitely by your will. But everything moves under the control of Krishna. See, you can only give the desire, I want to do this now, I want to move this vehicle, the body. And then Krishna makes all the arrangements. Brigamoli, you can desire to do something, but you are dependent on Krishna's arrangement that this machine goes even this. It is, I want to make a funny movement now so that you all of you awake and listen to the lecture, because already you are listening for a long time, and now soon comes the breakfast, and one gets impatient. So, but it is Krishna who says, okay, let this Sachinanand Swami's body move like this, like a puppet. If I think I'm the doer, it's not right. Biologically, it's not right. I'm not aware of the 1,500,000,021 interactions in the neuronic department. Neurons of his steering department. Just I have the wish, and then the steering operation here goes bling, 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 ching, and then the movement. I have been sometimes very sick, and I couldn't move any longer. I was very worried at that time. It was not paralyzed. I was on the operation table, and I woke up and I couldn't move any longer. And I knew this thing is not under my control. It's far out. By you can get this realization if you're under anesthesia and you wake up. It's a rare case, but Krishna showed me, and I could see how I'm totally different from the body, and I have no idea how to move it. It's very difficult to see, I know. We are all, you know, covered in our eyes. It's very difficult to see. I know, I can tell it theoretically, and you can tell theoretically your head, yes. It's very difficult to actually understand. So we are advised to work like this, that we are taking responsibility for our activities. I'm trying my best, but we understand that it's under Krishna's control. See, it's so difficult for us to understand that it's under Krishna's control, because usually it works. Usually it works. The world is made like this, that we can be in the illusion, I'm the controller. This is the biggest illusion. And it only takes a very, very surrendered soul to understand I'm not. Or some specific situation that you do a mistake, you forgot to put the benzene in your car, and then you're standing there half an hour from Almvik's God on the autobahn, and you half an hour from Almvik's God, my benzene is out, you know, and you have no possibility to move the benzene or anything. I'm not the supreme controller. I'm not so intelligent. At these rare moments, we understand. But they remain isolated flashes of enlightenment in our lives. Or when you are a farmer and you tried your best, and then the storm comes and takes away everything which you did. You really are. Farmers are very often very God conscious because of this experience, that they tried their best, but it was spoiled. More and more people want to come into this controller mood. Now I want to bring you, shock you. I will now quote Mr. Tipler. Tipler is he's at the very front of the artificial research, artificial intelligence research. He's convinced of the following scenario. Brigamuni, you wake up on an operation table. You are in full consciousness, but by sophisticated technology, you're not experiencing any pain. You feel how your skull is opened by the robot surgeon. His hand glides over your brain, and he, by some complex technology, can duplicate the neuronic patterns onto some hardware. Juk is copying your brain, all your personality traits, all your characteristics, every information which is in here. Zhup! It goes very fast. Minutes later, you wake up in your new body. It's made of the best endurable metal. It has the color which you have previously chosen. Also the shape. Now you no longer have this body which gets a common cold. And the mind has been improved by a special program that you are never depressed. And you are now a Superman. And in case you don't fear when some part, you know, should be damaged, you can easily get it by the social welfare state replaced. To need to work any longer because you're no hungry and you're not hungry any longer. This is how they want to control reality. Please don't think this is science fiction. It sounds like science fiction, I know, but this is what they actually are researching on. They have now developed a computer, but it's huge, which has 1/5 of the capacity of the human brain, 1/5, and they want to make it times 5, and then times whatever it is, can't even figure. And then they think they have a human being. They are such controllers. Our modern thought goes in the entirely different direction. Yes. This is Jagannath, Hare Krishna Jagannath. Who are you? They are in Mücket. Fin question. What? Frogo, they are in Mücket. He doesn't understand. It doesn't work any longer. Yeah, no, but this was Swedish. See, Jagannath, we all have our free will. For instance, you can play whatever you want to play. Krishna doesn't say, "Oh Jagannath, you only have to play, can only play Krishna conscious plays. You can also run after the little hares in Alvik's guard and frighten them to death." It's your free decision. Krishna doesn't intervene. He gives all of us a possibility to do. You can go to the cow and hit the cow if you want. The cow goes like, "Why, Jagannath? Why, Jagannath?" You can, in theory. It wouldn't be good. And it would not please Krishna. But Krishna would allow it, in theory. I know you wouldn't do it, well, I don't know, but I hope you wouldn't do it, but we all have our free will. So, Krishna is just waiting for us. That we make the right decisions. And then he helps us. If we make the wrong decisions, he also helps us to fulfill the wrong decisions. Krishna is in control, but he allows us to make our free decisions. So these meat eaters have made their free decisions. Well, to kill cows. Krishna says, all right, if you want this. Then he takes another meat eater, brings him into the life form of a cow, and then that meat eater, first meat eater, kills the meat eater in the cow's body. Intelligent, isn't it? She kind of looks at me. Your mother can explain to you, because you may be too, you know, this unusual situation that someone translates for you and it's difficult to concentrate. Your mother can explain to you exactly more. Any other question? Yes. Yes, I want to do. I see my life is changing because of all the changes in ISKCON. I have to react. We have to ask ourselves the question, what went wrong on the way to heaven?